Welcome to the Layup Lines podcast. I am your host, Seth Horton, joined by Nathan Chester, the blogger for the Bill Street Bears, and Cedric Davis, union student.
That's a nice introduction.
Thank you. Chap Daddy, Michael Chap Daddy Chapman, is currently sick at home with the flu. So
get well soon.
That's why we picked up a random union student.
Yeah, we picked up a rando. Also, Nathan Chester writes for Cardinal and Cream.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sports guy, which is why we have him on here. Cedric, also a sports guy. So let's get into this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go ahead and put this out here. The guys team is on campus. Well, not right now. They actually have an away game tonight. Yeah. But we have a guys team.
Allegedly.
That's what I'm told. The girls' team is good.
The girls' team is really good.
The girls' team is great.
The girls, you know what? Here's the thing. The girls, I really don't like going up to the girls' games because I'm like, we're finna blow them out by 20. I don't want to watch that. The guys, on the other hand, I'm like.
Let me just put it to you this way. So for like probably like 10 or 12 times last semester, I got to practice with the girls team, you know, because it was good for them to like practice against male players to like speed up their game a little bit. And I was guarding Bree down low in the post. And let's just say I had like 5 or 6 bruises probably on my chest the very next day. I was not expecting that at all.
That's a grown woman.
She is a grown woman.
That's not going to work well for you.
No, it did not. Yeah. It did not.
It's barbecue chicken.
Yeah.
A whole lot.
She scored every single time.
They're so good, though.
They really
man.
Are.
Mm-hmm. They're so good.
No. Hopefully we can pull off a championship this year.
How many games are left in the season right now?
That's a great question. I should have had stuff pulled up.
I want to say 5 because conference.
Yeah, I know the guys have 5 left.
Well, they play the same today, so.
Yeah. No.
5.
Mm-hmm.
The conference tournament is going to start soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think about the conference tournament?
Hopefully we get the whole
I guess it's just going to come down to, for the at least the girls, it come down to them and UNA. And honestly, when I was watching them on Saturday, I really did think Union was the better team. There was just probably some poor decision-making down the stretch for some bad shot selection here and there. But for the most part, UNA, girl banked in a 3 deep from the wing with a minute left in the game. I really think the Union women are a better team.
If we played them again, that game – UNA don't stay in the game.
No.
Like, it's one of those cases of, okay, we was up 18, and you take the foot off the pedal.
Yeah, I mean, it's just natural in a basketball game. I mean, anybody who's played basketball knows that. You can watch an NBA game. If an NBA team gets up by, like, 20 points, like, 7 or 8 minutes into a game, they're pretty much all – it's always going to end up becoming a tight or close game.
Yeah.
But generally, I mean, you keep your foot on the gas pedal, Union women will beat them if they play them again, probably convincingly.
I'm feeling good about it, man. Chelsea Shumpert has been – tearing it up.
24.8 points per game.
Last 3 games, I think, that I've seen, because I missed the one on Saturday, she scored at least 30.
Also, when I was practicing the women's team, like, we'd be doing some, like, 5-on-5, like, full court scrimmaging, and I'd be bringing the ball up the court, and she would be harassing me and, like, getting after me, just trying to bring the ball up the court.
I can see that. She was just breaking your ankles. Huh?
Yeah, every single time. Pull up 3 in my face.
How was that whole experience, man?
The whole experience, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Like, I started to have some knee problems towards the end of the semester, so that's kind of when I started, like, not being able to come quite as often. I still try to poke my head in there every now and again, but just, like, they are really, really good. Just, like, really good. You give them an open 3, you can watch it in games, they're going to make it. It doesn't matter whether they're playing against guys or girls. They get an open shot, it's going in most of the time. They are just really, really skilled basketball players, and, I mean, Coach Campbell's record speaks for itself. He's the man.
Coach Campbell has been a hoss.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to shift gears. I'm just going to let you guys argue for, like, the next 10-15 minutes. Super Bowl happen. Go.
Tom Brady is not the GOAT.
Okay, shut up. Let me get Philly had 2 touchdowns that shouldn't have been touchdowns.
All right, please explain that to me. You got to go through the plays here. All right, please give me your complex analysis on this.
Okay, with what the running back name? When he came off the little
Was it Blount?
No. It was like Crete Simmons, whatever his name was. He came off a halfback, like wheel route. He beat the beat our defenders, but he has the ball. He caught the ball.
Our defenders? Are you on the New England Patriots?
Yes, I am. Listen, he beat our defenders. He had the ball. He took two steps. He juggled it, and then when he retained possession, he stepped on the white line.
Okay, and then when I saw the replay on that play, the ball juggling in his hands, it barely moved.
But
to
it
me,
moved.
He clearly had full possession the entire play.
It moved.
Okay,
he didn't make.
Okay, so according to NFL rules, for a play to the call on the field was a touchdown. For a play to be overturned, there has to be clear, indisputable evidence. By the letter of the rule, there was not clear, indisputable evidence that wasn't a catch.
When you watched the replay, did you not see the ball move?
A little bit. It's still a catch.
No, it's not. If the ball moved, it's not a catch.
You're just mad that Dez didn't catch it a couple years
ago. No, listen, even about that, I think Dez should have caught it, but I don't think the Cowboys would have won it.
No. Aaron Rodgers would definitely won that game.
They had just scored 10 in a row.
No. Okay, now, the second play. I don't know how in the world you could not say that was a touchdown catch.
The exact first catch? It wasn't a touchdown. It wasn't a touchdown.
How can you say that?
The ball. He caught the ball.
He took.
He caught the ball as he was going towards the ground. The ball hit the ground, and it came loose.
He was already in the end zone.
But the ball came loose.
But he had already taken – if anything,
the
that's –
The ball came loose. That's not – no.
But no, listen to me. You have to be able to make a football play, and then by that point it's a catch. He had already made a move to the left and had taken three or four steps. That is a catch and a reception already. If he loses it, which he lost it over the plane. So
no, he didn't. He lost the ball before the ball crossed the plane.
Well, either way, he took three or four steps, so it's still a catch, and it's
a
touchdown.
It shouldn't have been a touchdown. But Tom Brady, 28 of 42, 505 yards.
Okay, so let me just go into – here's my controversial hot take.
It's not even –
when I say Tom Brady is a system quarterback, I'm not saying he's not great. System quarterbacks can be great. The reason why I have always been on the record saying that Peyton Manning is a better quarterback than Tom Brady is because Manning is the system. For the majority of Peyton Manning's career in both Indianapolis and Denver, he called every single play at the line. He didn't have to run in Bill Belichick's offense and everything.
First of all, Bill Belichick is not in control of our offense, okay?
Josh, who ran
Josh
it before
McDaniels?
Josh McDaniels did?
I know Josh McDaniels been there for a while.
Well, what about before that? I mean, he hadn't been there forever.
No, it was Charlie Weiss. He used to be coach at
Notre Dame. Yeah. But
when you say, okay, I get it. When you look at the things that Brady do, like
throwing to receivers with no one within 5 yards of them.
No one says you have to go throw the ball deep every play. Peyton Manning never threw the ball deep every play.
No, he didn't. You're absolutely right.
Like the same routes. Okay, the same routes that you get on Danny Amendola and Julian Edelman for running. Mm-hmm. Marvin Harrison ran those same routes. Reggie Wayne ran those same routes. But you say nothing.
But you say, are you talking about like Tom Brady's never had any good receivers? And for whatever reason, you have some bias against Wes Welker and do not act like Wes Welker is a good receiver.
He was a nobody before he came
to
New England.
He was very good in Miami.
No, he wasn't.
Before he came to New England.
No, he wasn't.
Randy Moss had one of the single greatest individual seasons in NFL history.
Okay, Randy Moss was great before he got to New England.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Moss was great.
All right.
Wes Welker won.
All right, did Peyton Manning ever have a Rob Gronkowski?
No. But he had a Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison, Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. First ballot.
They both had great receivers.
No.
Okay, so.
Tom Brady had one great receiver.
If I'm remembering.
And in that 1 year, he broke the single season record for touchdowns.
Peyton Manning broke that record after that.
Okay, anybody can break a record when you play. <You know. laughs> Randy Moss set the record for the most receiving touchdowns in a single season. So you saw what Brady can do when he gets when you give this man a great receiver.
Let me ask you. So you're saying Brady's the best?
No, that hands down. Tom Brady's the best.
Are you saying second best is who?
I mean, you told me Peyton Manning when we were texting the other night.
I did say Peyton Manning. I did say Peyton Manning. It's Brady, Manning, Rodgers right now, in my opinion.
Is it close between Manning and Brady?
I mean, even I will agree with that, even on my side of the opinion.
Honestly, here's the thing.
I'm just making sure that we're not getting into some, like, blasphemous territory.
As much of a Tom Brady fan I am, I ultimately think that Aaron Rodgers will retire as, like, the definitive best of all time.
I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers would be better served trying to get out of Green Bay because I know plenty of people who think Aaron Rodgers has the best individual arm talent, is the most talented quarterback of all time.
Facts.
And yet there have been several seasons. Now, the year he won a Super Bowl, Green Bay had a really good defense. But there have been several years where the Packers went 15-1, their defense was giving up like 30-something points a game.
Like,
Rodgers was winning like 40-something to 30-something every week.
People get on Aaron Rodgers for his lack of success in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you put any quarterback in Green Bay and see if they can do what Aaron Rodgers have done with their talent around him. Like, without Aaron Rodgers, they're a 4-12 team.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
with Aaron Rodgers, easily 12 wins.
Now, put Peyton Manning with Bill Belichick.
He'll have the same two Super Bowls.
All right. You're saying Peyton Manning would have won two. All right, so here's what we're coming down to. So Tom Brady has 5 rings. Peyton Manning has 2 rings. I'm not a huge fan of the ring argument.
I'm not
like,
either because
like,
when I argue my LeBron argument. Yeah.
Okay, so during Tom Brady.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Okay, that's my area of expertise.
Okay, so I'm gonna be arguing with Seth.
So Tom Brady has 5 rings. Peyton Manning has 2 rings. Like I said, not a huge fan of the ring argument, but I mean it's definitely there. I mean, but football is a team sport. Now, here's the thing. Now, Peyton Manning in the 2 Super Bowls that he's won, the one in Indianapolis and the one in Denver. Okay, when he won the title of the Super Bowl in 2016 with Denver, they were the number one defense in the league that year. And honestly, I mean, you bring up the 2000 Baltimore Ravens, the 80s Bears, but I know they were the best defense that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I don't know about whether all – I think there's a legitimate argument you can make about whether they're the greatest defense of all time. Now, Peyton Manning was obviously not himself. He was on his last leg, but he was able to win a championship with that team. Now, what year did Peyton win a Super Bowl in Indianapolis? Like 2007? 2006, somewhere like around there. I think Indianapolis had like the 7th defense that year.
Yep.
So
they were 2-3 in turnovers.
Okay. All right. But anyway, so
Bob Sanders won Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, but that plays into my argument here. So the 2 years that Peyton Manning won 2 Super Bowls, he had a really good defense. For the majority of Peyton's time in Indianapolis, his defense, I think when I looked it up on NFL.com, his average ranked defense during that time was like 17th for like a majority of his time in Indianapolis. Tom Brady's defense, their average rank was 7th for his entire career during New England.
So you're penalizing Tom?
No.
Because he played for a better organization.
No, Tom Brady definitely did play for a better organization. Like, no one is not arguing that. But, I mean, there's definitely a correlation. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are both phenomenal. They're the two greatest quarterbacks of all time. But Tom Brady consistently had a better defense and was able to win more championships because of that. I mean, you can't argue with that.
I mean,
what do you think, Sandra?
I really don't have nothing much to say.
So I have heard on social media some argument about Brady being a GOAT, and like, you know, you got Michael Jordan, the GOAT of basketball. Some people would argue against that. I'm not gonna name any names. But like, I've seen this weird thing going on between like as though it was a competition between Brady and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
So explain that to me, because I don't get the comparison here. It's two different sports.
I mean, I don't really buy it. I mean, I would say probably a majority of people at this point would say Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback. Like, I mean, I obviously don't agree with that, but I'd say there's a good amount of people who think Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, by virtue of the position, Tom Brady's not a two-way player. He can't play defense. He's a quarterback. And did you – all right, so the play that they ran to throw him a pass in the Super Bowl where Brady just kind of barely raised his hands and it went off his hands. Tom Brady, I think, has the slowest 40 time in NFL combine history.
That was a rough play.
He ran a 5.6.
Tom Brady –
that's a lightning speed, man, let me tell you.
I thought you could outrun him, Cedric.
No, honestly, like, seriously, I could beat Tom Brady in the first race. Like, for real, in a 40-yard dash, I could beat Tom Brady.
Probably on one leg.
Definitely.
No, for real, I could beat, yeah, no. No question.
Hands down, I could beat Tom Brady.
But, I mean, Tom Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, is not even athletic by any measure of the word, whether pro sports or high school, church league, whatever.
But that's got to say something about his ability to throw the ball, doesn't
it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's got an incredible – I mean, one of the greatest passers ever, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. But, I mean, he's not athletic. Michael Jordan, I mean
– athletic freak.
There was an article in Sports Illustrated about Michael Jordan that said his defense alone would have made him a top 100 player in NBA history.
Okay. Whoever wrote that article –
that is ludicrous. That is blasphemous.
Shit. Whoever wrote that article is ludicrous, all right?
10-plus all-defensive first teams, defensive player of the year, an award that a guard rarely ever wins.
So?
He was a better defender than Scottie Pippen.
He definitely was not.
Oh, yes, he was.
Oh, my – no.
Where's Scottie Pippen's defensive player of the year award? He was on the Bulls when Jordan won defensive player of the year.
Scottie was a better on-ball defender. When
have
they
you
played,
gone back and watched
they,
the film
yes.
on that?
When they played the superstars, the elite scorers, Scottie would guard them.
Because Jordan was the most dominant offensive player of his era. Why waste his energy guarding the other team's best player when
LeBron,
you have another excellent defender who can
LeBron
handle that job?
The best player.
Who's going to guard him? J.R. Smith?
Oh, J.R. Smith plays defense. Well, he played in Denver.
J.R. Smith been one of the worst players of the NBA this year.
J.R. Smith has been struggling. But, like, since he's been on the Cavs, J.R. Smith's main, like, goal has been stand in the corner, stand at the top of the three.
And become a shooter.
And wait for LeBron to pass you the ball and then take the shot.
That's the complete opposite of the player that he was in New York and in Denver.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you had to be a shot creator there.
Yeah, like, in New York, he was their legit second-best player.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that was a fun team.
It was a great team to watch. He was a athletic wingman.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whoop team were they playing when – you ever seen that big highlight of him throwing it down off a putback dunk at the end of the first quarter? I think it was against San Antonio from, like, 10 years ago when he was in Denver.
Yeah.
It was like he doesn't have that kind of athleticism anymore.
And oh, no.
He don't get to show it no more.
Mm. Well, he don't have it anymore. But now that we're talking,
that's also true.
Now that we're talking about the Cavs, here's a question I want to pose. Has any player had a more deep fall from grace in 1 year than Isaiah Thomas?
Oh, it hurts me, man. It hurts my soul.
You finna hate me for this one, but I never thought Isaiah was an elite player.
I mean, it's hard to say someone who's averaged 29 points a game isn't elite, but, I mean, it hurts for me to say
he's not an elite player.
It's someone who is also 5'9". I mean, it's tough for me to say that Isaiah can barely stay on the court with his defense.
Isaiah Thomas, at the end of the day, he's a undersized shooting guard.
That's fair.
In a point guard body. He's a volume scorer.
A high school point guard body.
Basically, he's a volume scorer. That when his shot's not falling, he can't do nothing else.
Also,
he don't create for nobody else. He can't make a stop. Like, he don't even play passing lanes, bro.
When they were playing the Warriors on TNT, they had him mic'd up. And when the Warriors were coming down on offense, because you know how, like, in between, like, coming back from commercial break, they'll show what the players are saying and stuff like that. And Isaiah's going, I got Steph. And, like, you could hear the fear in his voice. Like, literally, this is like his second game back.
Like, no. Also, I feel bad for Isaiah, though, because in his mind, he's a $250 million player. But in reality,
if you score 29 points a game,
the way he played last season,
he was phenomenal.
That was $259 production.
No.
Brad Stevens just gets the best out of everybody in Boston.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens put him in a position where he realized nobody else on my roster can score at will. Let's just surround Isaiah with people who's just going to hit shots when he occasionally get double team and pass the ball out of the double team.
Also, Boston had the smallest backcourt in NBA history last year. 5'8" Isaiah Thomas and 6 foot, maybe 6 foot one, 6 foot two, Avery Bradley.
Avery Bradley is a small man, but that dude plays some serious defense.
He is.
His on-ball defense is amazing. And I think that's really what worked well for Boston last year, because we had three really amazing defensive players to play right next to Isaiah and Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley, and Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
Which Jay Crowder's fallen off a little bit on the defensive end this season. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the system the Brad Stevens runs. Because, like, when you look at Kyrie going from Cleveland to Boston, he's playing a lot better on defense, and yep. he's just more engaged overall.
Here's something I want to ask you, Seth, and I mean, it's kind of a crazy question. You can just, like, shoot me down real hard if you want. All right. Now, would you agree that you think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are future All-Stars?
I think they're future All-Stars for sure.
Mm. Okay, so if Gordon Hayward comes back, whether it's in the playoffs this year or he comes back next year, if you think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are future All-Stars, why would you want to stunt their development and start Gordon Hayward next year?
This is what I say. I say I still want Gordon Hayward for right now, because Gordon Hayward is currently an All-Star, as where Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they're future All-Stars. And I think Jaylen is going to be – he's a better defensive player than Jason is. I think Jason is going to be better suited to come off the bench for us for right now, like mm-hmm. once Gordon gets back. Because there are times, like, if you watch him play, like, he gets overwhelmed with it. His shots don't fall. He makes a couple of boneheaded decisions. He's still a rookie, even though he hasn't been playing like one most of the season. Mm-hmm. So it's been really good to see him develop and stuff. But I think it would be helpful for him on a mental level to be able to come off the bench and be the number one scorer with the second yeah. unit.
Because if he come up, bring him off the bench, he'll win Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah.
He can still – his numbers actually might go up.
Probably. I mean, he's only going to get better next year. Yeah. Now, another question for you. What is Boston willing to give up for Tyreek Evans?
Marcus Smart, maybe, in a pick.
I mean, Marcus Smart, the first-round pick, I mean, if they could get that, they would have already done it at this point. It's just yeah. not happening. The market's, like, waited too long, so it's not looking good on that
it's
front.
It's a trade deadline tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
So, hold on. What do we got?
I believe it says the
tomorrow at 3?
Yes, it is.
We got a little while. I honestly expect Danny Ainge to just sit pat and do nothing like he's done the last, like, 2 or 3 years.
That's the most frustrating general manager in the NBA history.
Okay.
Isn't he?
I couldn't be a Celtic fan.
Okay.
Could not be a Celtic fan.
All right. So now that we brought up Danny Ainge, would y'all like to hear my conspiracy about something?
Yes.
Okay.
I love Lord conspiracy theories.
Danny Ainge sabotaged Markelle Fultz. Okay, so here we go. All right, hear me out on this. It makes sense. Okay, so Markelle Fultz, one of the best players in the NCAA last year. No one ever got to. He averaged like, all right, he played on a terrible Washington team, but what did he average, like 22-6?
Yeah, but.
Great shooter, great ball handler, great playmaker, really good defender. He
great
was
percentage splits on his shots.
Uh-huh, shot like 43% from three in college. Mm-hmm. Great player. Number one pick in the draft for a reason. People thought he was the most complete player in the draft. People talk Lakers. Magic Johnson's talking about how Lonzo Ball was going to be his guy no matter what. He would have definitely picked Fultz number one if they had
won.
The pick. Yes, he would have.
No, he wouldn't.
The Sacramento Kings said they would have taken De'Aaron Fox number one. They all lie about that.
Lonzo was always going to be a Laker.
Okay, so Markelle Fultz. All right, Danny Ainge trades the number one pick to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia takes Markelle Fultz. Markelle Fultz cannot shoot anymore. He looks like there is a 50-pound dumbbell on his right shoulder every time he tries to take a jump shot.
You know what I honestly think it is? I think he tore a ligament, and Philadelphia medical staff just can't find it.
Well, they said...
Like, seriously, like, they can't,
they have x-ray.
Bro, it's got, like, seriously, it's got, you can't go from having, his release was perfect, high arc, it was a perfect release.
No, his jumper was beautiful in Washington, yeah.
He went from that to, like, he could barely extend his arm above his head, mm-hmm. like.
All right, so, like, they even said he is completely healthy right now. I don't think their medical staff would come out right and just flat-out lie at this point.
This is Philadelphia.
Facts.
Okay, so, yeah, if you've seen any type of tape or clips of him playing, he's got a set shot. No point guard has a set shot. It looks like he has a 50-pound weight on his head. So, here's my conspiracy. Danny Ainge walks in. They show him the film. They let him work out for them. And Danny Ainge says, here's a syringe. It's going to make you stronger, man. And Markelle Fultz, not wanting to make angry the general manager who can't select him number one, sticks it in his shoulder. And all of a sudden, he can't figure out what's wrong with him, but he doesn't want to say anything.
I was believing you until you said that.
He doesn't want to tank his draft stock at all.
I was definitely believing you until you said that.
So Danny Ainge gets to Danny Ainge thinks, I've swindled people before. I'm going to do it again. He trades the number one pick, knowing that Philadelphia needs a point guard and they're going to draft Markelle Fultz. He trades the number one pick for the number three pick, picks Jason Tatum, and he also has a future first round pick. That's my theory.
I say two things. One, I absolutely believe that Danny Ainge would do that.
The man has won every single trade he's ever been involved in. Why does anyone even deal with him anymore?
Here's the thing, man. Like, as a Boston fan, every time he does anything, my immediate reaction is to panic. Because, like, no matter what, it always seems like we lost it first. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, a month or two later, you come to find out, Danny knows what he's doing.
I'm not going to lie. When I first heard that Kyrie got traded to Boston, I immediately thought Boston got the better trade.
I mean, you got to be a really ruthless GM. Isaiah Thomas, like, now, of course.
That was heartbreaking.
Okay, there's different stuff. I mean, you don't want
basketball is a business.
Cedric does not care.
You don't want to pay $250 million for a 5'8 point guard who's going to be on the wrong end of 30 soon. I get that. Man had an incredible season. He helped lead the Celtics to the Eastern Conference Finals. He played right after his sister died in a car accident. Danny Ainge is like, well, it's a business, trading him.
Is rough. That is rough.
Okay, when you put it like that, you might shed a couple of tears for him, but listen, did nobody tell Isaiah to play? He decided to play.
Also, they knew something was wrong with his thigh, and they let him play anyway, knowing they were going to trade him in the offseason.
I don't think they ever planned on trading him, though. Like, I really don't think.
You really don't think they were ever planned on
it? If Kyrie never would have came out and said he wanted to get traded, I think
we were just going to let him walk in free agency.
Yeah, because Boston clearly wasn't going to pay him that money.
Mm-hmm. No, for the 30-year-old 5'8", 5'9" point guard with a bad hip.
They were going to get one great, another good season out of him.
I love Zay.
Also,
I love Zay.
What is up with Danny Ainge's obsession with Terry Rozier? Cavs can find a way to trade LeBron and somehow make the money work, and Danny Ainge would be like, nope, not giving up Terry Rozier.
Bro, Terry Rozier been balling.
Terry Rozier is a gamer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That man, let me tell you about this man. This man got his first career start in his third year in the league, I think.
Yeah.
Triple-double. Just straight off the bat. This man, he hustles.
If it came at a loss, you can call him Russell Westbrook.
Okay. But we won, though.
We're not finna talk about Westbrook right now. First of all. Also, MVP people. I'm telling y'all. Westbrook is MVP.
I didn't just remember something, though. So, you write about the Grizz.
Yes.
Okay. What did you write when Fizz got fired?
So here's kind of how I felt about that. So why are you laughing at me?
Because I know how you felt about that.
All right, so Fizdale, first off, I think he's a really good basketball mind. I think he's a good basketball coach. I also think he's a bit of a prima donna. He came in last year and he talked a lot about, and this never set well with Marc Gasol and Mike Conley. He came in and said, we're going to establish a culture change. We're going to do things differently right now. And here's the thing, Grizzlies have been to the playoffs 7 straight years. If you're Marc Gasol and Mike Conley and Zach Randolph, who he also told Zach Randolph, you're not going to be starting anymore, he comes busting through the doors, like shaking his shoulders and stuff like that, said, there's going to be some changes around here. It's like, well, we've been to the playoffs 7 years in a row. We've been to the Western Conference Finals. What have you done? Rode LeBron's coattails to 4 finals in Miami? You're going to
it's a difference between making the playoffs and actually doing something in the playoffs.
Grizzlies have been to the Western Conference Finals. They've been
once.
To the second. Okay.
And they got swept.
San Antonio's good, man.
San Antonio was real good. Yeah.
The beautiful game.
It's hard to coach against Pop.
Mm-hmm.
One Western Conference Finals. And in the last seven years.
They had one play. All right, let's go down the list. They beat the Spurs in 2011 before losing to the Thunder. Next year, they lose to the Clippers.
In the first round.
Then they beat the Clippers and Thunder, went to the Western Conference Finals in 2013.
Got swept.
All right. We made that clear. All right, so they lost to the Thunder the next year. All right, so here's kind of my hot take. I believe if the Grizzlies had been healthy in 2015, they would have won the NBA Finals.
Was that the year Rudy Gay got hurt?
No, that was several years before that. Rudy Gay, they traded Rudy Gay back like in 2013. He didn't play in the Western Conference Finals.
I also believe if Rudy Gay would have played in the Western Conference Finals,
yeah,
they would have won.
I mean, they needed a wing playmaker. That was the problem. They were just trapping Conley out of every single pick and roll. Tayshaun Prince could not shoot anymore at that point. They had Tony Allen and Tayshaun Prince on the wings. You know how much spacing there's going to be for Zach Randolph and
Marc
Gasol? Like none at all. All right, but in 2015, it really all came together. It was Marc Gasol's best season of his career. Zach Randolph was being more efficient than he'd ever been. Conley was finally coming into his own. Tony Allen was playing like a defensive player of the year on the wings. And Jeff Green, I never did dislike Jeff Green that much. Then again, trade with Danny Ainge to get Jeff Green. You lose
Jeff
that trade.
Jeff Green.
Like, so.
He balled out in Boston.
I mean,
he averaged 17 points a game on a terrible team.
Isn't he? He balled out every third night.
He was super inconsistent.
He was super inconsistent. Mm. But the reason I ask about Fizz is because Jason Kidd just got fired and sent packing in Milwaukee.
He wanted the Milwaukee job to begin with, is what I think. I mean, first off, it was pretty obvious. Yeah, no, listen to me here. So, like, Giannis, it was pretty obvious that things in Milwaukee just weren't quite working with Jason Kidd. There's a reason why nobody wants to hire him now, like right after he got fired.
Yeah.
So, with Fizdale, all right, so to kind of go down the history and stuff like that, Fizdale kind of walks in, just kind of like, we're going to make some changes around here. Gasol and him immediately, like, probably like halfway through last season, they finally just hit an impasse where they'd like their relationship just pretty much got severed.
Yeah.
And you can say what you want about Marc Gasol. He's not the player that he was, but you can't just totally turn off your best player on your team. You just can't
also
do
it. True.
Unless you're Greg Popovich.
Like,
I definitely think
Fizz isn't like squeaky clean here. I am a Fizz apologist. Mm-hmm. I love Coach Fizz.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a guy, as a coach, I think he's a brilliant coach. I think he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an apologist. I would love to see him go to Milwaukee.
I would honestly love that too. Because I think he's a really good guy. There was some stuff that like he did with the team that I didn't necessarily agree with. He said at one point when they were struggling near the end of last season, he was doing a bunch of weird lineups, like Andrew Harrison and Mike Conley and Brandon Wright and Marc Gasol were all in the same starting lineup. And he said, if you don't like it, you can kiss my you-know-what.
Listen, Andrew Harrison is trash. That man is trash.
He really has not been that bad this year.
He's
and,
trash.
Hey, I was the most biggest Andrew Harrison hater there was last year. So
I guess I'm the biggest Andrew Harrison.
Yeah, I guess you're the biggest
that
Andrew Harrison.
That man is trash.
He shot 35% last year. All right, so Ricky Rubio, who has, like as far as, like, volume of career, he has, like, the worst shooting percentage for a career in NBA history at 39%. Andrew Harrison shot 35% last year. Like, this man is – he wasn't even good at Kentucky. He was supposed to be a one and done. That's why he was so bad he stuck around a second year.
Yo, they won a championship their second year.
No, they lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four.
Frank the Tank Kaminsky.
Oh, that's right. That's the year they had. It was him, his twin, and Julius Randle.
Yeah, I think Aaron Harrison's out of the league now. I think he only stuck around for like 1 year.
All right, well, we're finna run up against time. So I'm going to ask you guys one more question each. NBA Finals. Who the teams? Who's winning?
Okay. Want me to be serious?
I mean,
Oklahoma City and Boston. I'm calling now.
Okay.
All right, please.
They're going to beat.
Right, I know we're stretched for time. Please explain to me how the Thunder are going to beat the Warriors in the playoff series, please.
Because in the playoff, mm-hmm. the pace of the game slows down,
mm-hmm.
which benefits Carmelo Anthony. There's not a player on Golden State that can keep Melo from getting a bucket the last 5 minutes. And if you say Kevin Durant.
This is my shocked face.
He's too.
You can't see me right now. This is my shocked face. Draymond Green, Kevin Durant,
no,
Klay Thompson.
No! KD, too small. He's just finna get back down. Melo just finna back him down and get a bucket on him. Draymond is gonna get in foul trouble trying to keep. You can't. Draymond is only a good defender when he tries to bully.
Melo is the fourth person the Warriors are most worried about.
Listen, I said the last 5 minutes. Last 5 minutes of the game, that's Melo.
When Melo decides to finally play defense.
Listen, right. It's not how you start,
Chester,
it's how you finish.
MVP.
For the league?
Mm-hmm.
James Harden.
James Harden?
I think, honestly, if one game can win you MVP, what was the stat? Like 61 and 10 and 11.
I can't even do that on 2K.
I mean, if he'd been Kobe, I mean, Kobe'd be mad at him. Said you could have easily gotten 81 without those 11 assists.
Right.
He ain't lying.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, that's a lot more impressive to me than Devin Booker getting 70 last year.
Yeah.
Suns extended that game to get in more free throws, but Harden's MVP. All right, so, like, I will say Warriors-Celtics. I've kind of been on the train of, like, just never bet against LeBron, but Cavs are terrible. Cavs are trash. They're trash. It is what it is. So.
The
Magic just came back on them down 21 and beat them by 16.
Yeah, like, there's no way possible.
Mm-hmm. LeBron is incredible as he is. Second best player of all time, in my opinion. That defense is too bad. He's not the defender he was. He's not giving the effort that he usually does on the defense.
I don't think he cares anymore.
Yeah, I think he's ready to go.
Like, you can watch this team, and it's like, they know LeBron is leaving. Mm-hmm. LeBron know. I'm not going to be here next year. That's why Dan Gilbert's not going to trade. They're not going to make no trades. Because he knows LeBron is leaving.
He would love to trade LeBron if LeBron would let it happen.
Trade him to where? Like, no one's going to pick up that.
I mean, no one's going to pick him up. No one, he may not re-sign with him. Like, I mean, Denver would probably have the assets to pull it off. They could tank their entire youth movement that he wouldn't re-sign in Denver. Yeah. Why would they do that?
We'll see what happens. Mm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Chap and Nick will be back next week, and tune in to hear him talk about sports and whatever else. All right. Thanks.